Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
And call in McGruff the crime dog because these puppies were just stolen during a Long Beach home break-in.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Jordan Klepper in studio. The show, The Opposition. New episodes begin tonight, as you hear this, 10:30. 10:30 Central on Comedy Central. We will get into some of our theories in a minute. Good to see you, Jordan.
Yeah, Adam, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. I don't know if we met.
We have not met. This is the first time.
Seems like we should have met, considering both our advanced ages and that we're both in show business and Comedy Central and everything else.
I know. We can exchange stories around the... Do you have a water cooler here? We can just complain about days gone by?
Yes, we shall. I don't know what's going on at Comedy Central. When I was there, it was so different. So many years ago. It was all run by women, pretty
really?
Much. Yeah, back in the day.
We used to have the heyday, they called it.
Yeah, that's right, the salad days. No. We used to have
the heyday.
Michelle Gainless.
Great arguments. I had Debbie Liebling was one of my executives over there. I remember because she liked me. She didn't like Jimmy and Daniel. And she didn't like them as much. So they would like work her body a little bit, and then mm-hmm. they'd put me on the phone to try to talk her into, like, look, there's really no... we'd have these arguments about, can't you say women's underwear? Why do I have to say underpants? And I'd go, I don't know. What, is there a difference between underwear and underpants? Like, we'd have insane...
That was the line they would draw?
They would just have... Crank Yankers was called Prank Puppets until Comedy Central's lawyers got on the phone and said... The title Prank Puppets implies malice, and we could never use that name, but Crank Yankers would be perfectly fine. And it seems like I was just taking peyote and living someone else's life. Like, I had a 2-hour, conversation where I screamed at lawyers and executives with Jimmy in a hotel room about prank puppets not being usable, which all sounds, it sounds like, hearing the word, like me telling my kids, couldn't use the word damn
right.
on TV. Like, they go, why? Yeah. Or hell.
So they would make the argument that crank yanking in and of itself, like, is alluding to the idea of masturbation in a way that is clean, where mm-hmm. pranking is a negative.
It's an attack.
It's an attack. Yeah. A prank is an attack. A yank is something that's
done
to yourself.
An attack on yourself.
To be fair to them,
I think that
we didn't have the alt version, which was Crank Yankers prepared. This was just a long conversation with Comedy Central executives and lawyers while they were telling us we couldn't use the word prank puppets. We couldn't use the title prank puppets, and we didn't have a plan B. So we argued. Once we finally lost, we then went back to the drawing board and came up with something that was more offensive. Yeah. But that's the way they work.
That's what drawing boards are for.
Yes. Jordan, where do you hail from?
Originally Kalamazoo, Michigan, home of Derek Jeter and a lot of people disbelieving that it's an actual place. It's a funny sounding place. Yeah. It's Creedence Clearwater used it in a song once, thinking it was a kazoo. Then there was a 50s song about having a gal there. So a lot of people think of it as a...
There was like a Bing Crosby or like a Frank Sinatra, like April in Kalamazoo. Yep. Like there was one of those. It was back when Bugs Bunny would do the Walla Walla Washingtons.
And
it's
Albuquerque.
An easy rhyme and it feels fun off the tongue. It feels like it's a go-to
It's our Timbuktu.
It is.
Yeah, we had that. What was the ape?
I've got a gal in Kalamazoo.
I believe that was Glenn Miller. I got a gal in Kalamazoo. Zoo, zoo.
Right.
Do you have to pay for that now if we sing that?
We got to clear it.
Thanks.
We'll do a feel alike. We'll whip that up in post. So, comedy. You seem like a guy who went to college.
I did go to college. I was a math dude in college, but I did improv in college, and that was the thing that I liked. So it kind of took me to Chicago and following that Second City IO kind of path.
Is Improv Olympics is do you remember doing improv and like going out, like they'll do that thing where they'll go like, all right, give me a Jordan, give me Adam, and give me Jessica. And like you go, ugh, Jessica. Like you have to, you're walking out there and you're going, this is that person on the softball team that never,
everybody
like,
steps
you're trying
in
to figure out like where to hide them out on the field. And then when they put them out in right field,
right
and then
center.
When a left hander comes up, like, Jessica, move it over to the guy from center, like the shift is on. And then they go out there and they, you know, they go like, you go like, hey, didn't we date in high school? I remember you. And they go, no, we didn't. And you
and get
think
away from
in
me.
Your mind, you go, Jessica, why do I get stuck with her? Did you have that person?
I think you always have that person at improv. I think improv is full of right fielders. Like
yes.
Every team you have, you're going to have the Jessica, the Todd. Hopefully Jessica is the benign one who just is a little off and you build off of it. But the Todd is the guy who throws the wrench in there.
When they do what you know they're going to do, when Todd just delivers on Todd in the middle of it and you...
Todd's got impressions too that you keep seeing. Todd's got that Austin Powers reference that he loves to make.
Oh, God. Don't go there.
And also, it's one of those things too where it's like you guys goes, all right, you guys are Merchant Marines. And he's like, what if one of the Merchant Marines was in Austin Powers? And then he starts going, like he shoehorns it in there.
Yeah. And the problem is, it always works. I feel like you're in a small audience that's never seen your Austin Powers impersonation or the guy who always makes that Godfather reference. Like,
right.
It's like, I've done 10 shows with Todd. He always pulls this thing out. It's an Ace Ventura, like, butt talk.
Right.
And they laugh more at that than my grounded comedy about the pain of being 27 and
thoughtful.
Unemployed.
Yeah. Thoughtful and grounded. Thoughtful.
Have you guys noticed in a class setting, there's an art to... like seeing who's about to go, like, let me get two more people on, four more people on stage, and you kind of move, but you're going up, like, oh, that guy, he's good, and you kind of get up, or you're like, oh, no, he's bad, and you're like, sit down. There's an art to, like, don't commit, but, you know, you want to be a balls of your feet.
What are your, so, in the Groundlings, it was just like, you know, don't ask questions, and not only that, but, and sort of who, what, where, and always kind of bring something to the party.
Yeah.
Like, when you enter with either a piece of news or enter physically holding a funnel cake. Like you had to bring something to this
gift.
To this thing. I imagine it was probably universal.
Well, I would say like in Chicago, I went Chicago and then I went UCB New York years later. I feel like Chicago in its most classic sense is like just bring yourself and you will find it. I think which can make for really arty improv, it could also make for a lot of just meandering. I think then when you went to New York, they were much more structured in the idea of like, you find it, then you play a game, and there's a mathematical formula to like, this is how you find the comedy.
If people don't know already, you say mathematical, it is. Like, there are certain things you can do, and you'll almost de facto have a good improv scene. It may not be a hilarious Austin Powers centric
improv butt talk
scene, but you can have a good C+ by simply not doing all these things you shouldn't do and just kind of following the rules.
If you follow the rules, you say yes to enough things, something sticks out as unusual, and then you repeat it. Like, people like repetition. If you can heighten the
callback,
odd thing, a callback, like, there's the little tricks that you keep in your back pocket that keeps you afloat and keeps you in the game until you do that next show.
I'll tell you first quickly about MedMen. MedMen.com. I want to thank them for sponsoring this half of the show. Get you $10 off your first order. And TrueCar. Go to TrueCar.com. Download that app. I remember many years ago, I believe that Second City opened up a school theater, whatever, in Santa Monica, I think around the promenade. And I was going to the Groundlings, and we went down there to check it out. And they did some sketch stuff, and then they did the improv. It's time for the improv portion of the show. They got all the suggestions, and then they took a 20-minute intermission, and they went to the back. And I remember as a Groundlings guy, I was going, you can't collect, you know.
That's not improv.
Yeah, who of them? His father. You're an attorney and you're a sea captain. All right, we'll be back in 20. Like, I was like, wait, you're not allowed to do that because you're back there plotting. And that's I want to see how the sausage is made.
That was, it's all nerdy comedy stuff, but I know, like, that was original Second City stuff of, like, improv back then was, like, just a process to get to loose sketch of, like, we'll get your ideas, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll give you loose structured stuff. And then you had I.O. come about, which was like, no, the art is in the finding, and people want to watch you find it. And, like, that's still sort of a fight they have in Chicago to this day of, like, is this a process to get something that might be performable that you can then charge $25 to, or is the fun thing that we're watching you
writing
discover?
On your feet.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like old man improv, but I am set in my ways. And my feeling is you get the suggestion and lights out and then lights up, and I want to hear it right then and there. Otherwise, it's still improv. It's not in the purest sense.
Okay.
I remember when I was with the Acme Theater, we went to challenge the Improv Olympics.
Yeah.
Improv Olympics, I don't know if they still do. They used to have like other improv troops who would like come in and take them on.
Yeah, I think they did until it closed here recently. Iowa West closed here.
I had this
in the last couple of weeks.
I think they closed literally this month.
Yeah.
I had to. They were like short a person, so I went to their team, and then we won.
Kitchen nightmare.
So even though we beat Acme, I still had my hand raised in victory.
It's an awkward rehearsal about the next week.
Beat my own team over there. God, such weird. But I like it. I feel like an improv class. I feel like I'd file it under a CPR class. Like, let everyone take it. Yep. You go, well, I'm not a paramedic. Fine. You'll know how to save a life.
I taught a bunch of improv in Chicago and in New York for a long time. And you get into the corporate world. You teach, like, business schools are all over improv now. I went out to CERN, where the Hadron Collider is, and taught scientists there about improv because They had one comedy nerd scientist out in Switzerland, and they're like, oh, we want to learn about how the other side of the brain works. And there you are teaching just a bunch of, you know, brilliant minds who don't know how to communicate or listen to one another. It's like there is a very functional part that's like, oh, it breaks through that first barrier. That first improv class, everybody should have a first improv class.
I agree.
How deep can you get and where do you start when you're dealing with literal outsiders, scientists?
Honestly, it sounds dumb. It's listening. Like it really is. They find it mind-blowing that you listen to the end of a sentence. Like you do an exercise where you have to use the last word that somebody says in your reply. And for business folks who are like high-end CEOs and for scientists, like they're busy coming up with an argument to combat the thing you already think. And so they're just shut off.
Kind of they're not listening.
You do the most basic improv exercise and they really are like, wow, that felt so new and free. It's like you listen to a person for the
first
time.
I'm going to have such better relationships now.
Oh my God. I make friends. I see you as a human now.
Max Zapata, you have your point, counterpoint subjects. We're going to flip a coin and then we'll both defend.
Yeah. So if I flip heads, then that means Jordan is for it. If I hit tails, you're for it.
All right. First, I'll tell you about MedMen. This will be interesting. If you live in California or Nevada, it's an exciting time to be alive. MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry by empowering people to exercise their right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience. All modern stores, really, they're state of the art. They're architectural marvels, I'm telling you. A wide range of products with knowledgeable and approachable staff. You can find out what's best for you. Open for both recreational and medical users. Anyone over 21 with a valid ID is welcome. Providing the highest quality and safety, do not worry about what you're buying. Everyone there is an expert, and you check out one of their 8 locations. Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego, Vegas. Or you can just go to medmen.com and find the nearest store. That's medmen.com. Make sure you let them know you heard on the Adam Carolla Show. Let them know I sent you. They'll get $10 off your order. Dawson.
Exclusively for our listeners, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about them on the Adam Carolla Show. For $10 off your order, limit 1 per customer. Terms and conditions apply. Check out MedMen today.
All right. Subject.
First one. EBT should be worth double at Whole Foods so the poor can have access to healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
Arguing for it. Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. I'm 100% for this. When it comes to food at Whole Foods, I'm a socialist by nature, and I think everyone should have equal access to the highest grains. You know, poor people shouldn't be forced to eat quinoa while the rich are eating farro. And so I would argue that EBT should be doubled so we can all start at an equal playing field. That playing field being a field of grain. Pharaohs.
It's a compelling point.
I'd argue a few things. First off, I don't wish kale on the biggest government mooch. So the fact that I would like some welfare reform and I don't like anyone on the dole, but eating kale, A, scratches up the top of your mouth. And I feel like these people's soft palate is more delicate than our own because we're used to eating things that are toasted, things that have a little snap, crackle, and pop to it. For them, it's everything's in a can and it's all says hash on it. But also, more importantly, these folks, their transportation is the shopping cart they got there in. And what I'm saying is that many of these Whole Foods are in very high-end neighborhoods, some double and triple-gated communities. There will be strewn. There will be shopping carts strewn everywhere. Again, these people don't take their Bentley into the Whole Foods. They walk back to Pacoima and other various poor parts of the hood in their shopping cart. So just the fact that the Whole Foods would have to absorb the cost of this shopping carts, which I've checked, run $189 a unit.
I fact checked that.
I checked it. It's $189 per unit, and that's without signage. If you want Whole Foods, Beverly Hills, or Santa Monica on there, that's another $22.50 per unit. These things will be strewn about the neighborhoods. They will become part of the landscape. Children can get trapped and die in them. I've heard stories. I heard a story when an illegal took a young blonde girl and got her head stuck in the fold-out basket part where you're not supposed to sit, but people use it for smaller items. She's gone today. I'd like to introduce Kaylee's Law, by the way, not to be confused with Kale Law. This is Kaylee's Law. It's in her memory. She'll be missed. We're all God's children.
You know, you hear an anecdote of an immigrant coming in. What I hear is a story of a young blonde girl who gets to meet somebody from a different culture on a level playing field, and they get to learn from one another. And when you talk kale, and you talk the struggle of eating kale, and cutting up the inside of your mouth, what I hear is a shared struggle. It's something that we, you know, people who have sustenance and have the ability to shop at Whole Foods, there is an ability to eat kale, to digest kale, and to then be frustrated by the idea of kale that the poor people just don't have. And I think like a shared session of aggrievement is something that can only help us as a culture.
These people are living in misery and squalor. Do you want to drag this out to their 90s?
I want to lift
them up. Right now they're living off of bacon fat and generic Chex Mix. They'll all be in the grave by their mid-50s. Nightmare over. But under your regime, this nightmare will continue forever. Let the pain be drawn out as long as it possibly can be drawn out. Throw them on the rack of life and stretch them until every limb comes out of joint. I sniffed, so that makes
torn.
I was going to say, despite the hyperbolic use of these people, I don't like kale, so I'm going to go with that.
All right, next one. Under religious freedom protection, Utah and Colorado should allow polygamy.
Oh.
In favor of this
is
Jordan.
Okay. He flipped the coin.
Yeah. So, Jordan, you're in favor of the polygamy.
Polygamy. I mean, I think polygamy is a no-brainer. I think love who you want to love. Be who you want to be. In this day and age where gender is a spectrum, like, why draw lines with numbers? And so I think, like, why can't marriage be a spectrum? Why can't love be a spectrum? Why can't cable provider spectrum be a spectrum?
Okay.
And so I look at polygamy as an invitation to fill the holes in your body, literally, but also like the metaphorical holes in your heart. Like they can't be filled by just one person. Let's extend that. Let's become more than who we are.
Thank you.
Compelling.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jordan Koresh. Yeah. Now, that is your line. Oh no, it's Klepper. I'm sorry.
It's Klepper. Yes,
I thought it read Koresh.
You assume
misspoke.
You assume he's related to the cult leaders?
I don't know cult leaders. That sounded like cult talk to me from our guest, Jordan Koresh. Now, this is the problem. You want to talk bigamy? I got no problem. It's got the word bigot practically baked into it. So I'm all for it, obviously. That's two wives. Bigamy, bigot, two, bi, not bisexual, bi wives. No problem with that. Polygamy, poly, as in polyamorous, as in Poly High School. We used to play them in high school at North Hollywood High. Polytechnic. This is not technic what I like. This is way too many wives. One guy, the guy always turns out to have unruly facial hair. At some point, he forces one wife number three and wife number seven to do something unholy to one another while he films it and throws it up on the ultra web. So, also, the children. I'm a guy who believes that dads matter. And I believe laws matter. And I believe parents matter. And while children may be our future, they are just not right now. Parents need to raise kids. Dads need to be present in the family with 15 wives and 25 kids and one dad. How's this ever going to work? Do you understand what's going on the inner city and the mean streets of Chicago right now? One prom and one prom only. Not enough dads. With your idea, it's many more wives, many more illegitimate kids, and less dads. I say it leads to an unhinging of society as we know it today.
Oh, but I, look at it from a technological point of view. Yeah, I share your aggrievement with society. We're losing connection with who we are. Who are men in society? I completely agree. It's because we lack shared experiences. We're focused in our phones all these times. Can you think of a better shared experience than 15 women sharing one haggard old man?
That's a good point.
Let me tell you about a story I read on the internet just this morning.
Fact check this.
There was a Nicaraguan immigrant who had 128 wives, all here illegally. Jesus. Those wives...
I'd like a fact check on this.
There was two blonde girls playing Foursquare. Uh-huh. This was in Salt Lake City, on the cul-de-sac they lived on. This gang all converged on these blonde girls. One was seeing impaired and ravaged her and did unspeakable things. So unspeakable that I can't speak about them. Decency would demand that I do not speak about them. Is that what you're looking for? Marauding gangs of men leading a zombie tribe of illegal Amazon women to ravage the white and blue-eyed citizenship of this country. Well, that's what you're for. Then you go Jordan Koresh.
Wow, I don't think anyone wants that.
I mean,
it's a great argument.
The debate rages on.
Yeah, we've heard the stories of the caravans of these
marauding wives.
They're not caravans. It's an army.
It's an army.
It's a platoon.
It's a full platoon. Again,
it's a full platoon. I saw the movie.
All right, here we go. Small sodas should be the only size offered at fast food restaurants. And arguing for it, Jordan.
Wow. You just keep flipping the coin and it lands on Jordan?
Yeah, I'm flipping it.
Okay.
I'm for small sodas being the only thing. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's about, yeah, I love big government overreach. You know, let's let Uncle Sam make the decision for us, because we've proven time and time again that we don't know what we want as human beings. We want things bigger, fatter, wider. And so if you could take one decision off of my plate, and that decision being how much liquid I should consume, then that leaves me open to be more creative with other decisions. Like, should I run for public office? Should I invest into a charity to try to make the world a better place? Should I become a painter? Try my hand at pointillism. Like, these are decisions I should be making that I'm wasting my time deciding what size drink I should make. So thank you, Uncle Sam, for taking that off my plate.
Wow. Well, the only... Well said. Group this would benefit was small soda. Now, we all know about big pharma, but we don't hear about small soda.
Rarely.
Do we want these people reaching into our pockets, nay, our children's pockets? And then once the government says, hey, this is the size of the soda you can have at the Chipotle, where does it end?
What's next?
Next thing you know, I'm filling up my SUV and some jackbooted thug from the government drops down like Tom Cruise in the bird, and he cuts me off. No, 2.5 gallons is all you get, Corolla. And I say, but I don't get it. I'm a taxpayer and a God-fearing American.
This thing holds 23 gallons,
and we'd like to drive to the Grand Canyon to explore the majesty of these United States. And he says, well, you're going to have to do it 2.5 miles at a time, because I am telling you how much. It's a slippery slope. It starts with soda. Then it goes to gasoline, and eventually they're going to tell me how many kids I can sire and how many bullets I can put in my banana clip. Well, I don't want to live in that kind of America. Maybe you do, Jordan.
You know what? That's those are the words of Big Cola that are coming out of your mouth right now.
Oh, wow.
That was small that's cola.
A huge allegation.
You're anti-small cola, pro-Big Cola.
I don't even know what I'm arguing for.
All right, last one. This one's going to Adam. All right, Adam.
Did you flip the coin just for fun, just to see if it went to Jordan four times in a row?
That was three times.
No, but it went to me. You flipped the coin.
Yeah, I've been flipping this quarter.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Double heads.
You did flip it. All right.
You just want me to check now. Oh, it did hit you. So here we go.
Okay.
Adam, you think Congress should pass a forced secession of Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Forced to secede from the union.
Secede from the union. Yeah. Look, there's no doubt that they are a carbuncle on the ass of America. They need to be removed. Look, Brian, you have a brain tumor, yes?
Indeed, I do.
You were diagnosed.
I was.
Now, would you have liked it? I know it's inoperable.
Right.
Would you have liked it if the surgeon could have safely removed it?
Oh, my God, more than anything.
Okay, that's what we need to do with Florida.
Florida's the brain tumor here?
They're squeezing off our spinal column. Nothing good
we're
comes
limping
out
because of them.
Nothing good comes out of Florida. Mm. You know who loves Florida?
Who?
OJ. You know who loves Florida?
Who?
Every ex-NBA baller who doesn't feel like paying child support.
Right.
There's nothing we can do about it. You know who loves Florida?
Who?
Burt Reynolds.
Oh.
That's right. Come on. That's right. Look, I don't have a problem with the man, but I'm telling you this.
Don't do that.
Everything. When you tell me, there's a reason why a young genius named Adam Carolla pioneered a game called Germany or Florida so many years ago, because every bizarre macabre story that lands in the news about somebody meeting a drifter and eating his genitalia in his apartment, it's either Germany or Florida. Florida is our Germany. They need to be removed. And not only that, forget about the actual human beings that decide it'd be a good idea to relocate to Florida. When all the boat people come in from the undesirable asshole islands and beyond, where do they land? Yuma?
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
Florida.
That's correct.
Cut them off. Let Cuba annex them. It'll be their problem. Yep. And also, it's not just the humanity. It's the flora and the fauna. The snakes. Every time you see a grasshopper that's bigger than a VW, it's from Florida.
Gators.
Everything that'll eat you. Everything that'll poison you. Everything that'll crawl. I read a news story this morning about a young blonde girl in her crib. Little Kayleigh-Ann.
We have to fact check this.
Kayleigh-Ann. Look it up. Kayleigh-Ann, special needs blonde girl, in her crib. She was removed and devoured. Yes, by a black anaconda, which are only found in Florida.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Like, Adam, I'm not going to argue with you. Florida is the carbuncle. That
yes.
exists on America.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about vaccinations. And there's a way in which America can become stronger. Now, a vaccination works. You give somebody a little bit of the disease, a little bit of the problem, so they grow stronger. They mm-hmm. grow more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Florida does to America. It is the carbuncle. It is the disease. It is the blonde girl who... In this last example, I can't remember.
Kayleigh-Ann,
who is...
The black anaconda,
yeah.
Not a regular anaconda.
We need Kayleigh-Ann in America because Kayleigh-Ann makes Brad in Jersey that much stronger. I think you don't get the strength of Manhattan without the dirtiness of the Bronx. You know, you don't get the beauty of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen without Tony Kukoc doing the weird thing that Tony Kukoc did. Like, we need to be a stronger country, and to do that, we have to invite the disease.
All right, wow. So, Jordan Coney, what you're saying...
I think it's Klepper.
I've made that very clear.
I've made this mistake before.
It's Klepper. I said Jordan Coney.
Okay, yeah, well, again, it's Klepper.
It's not Coney.
It's on your paper.
We know who
Coney is the despot leader of the African Republic that was rounding up kids and putting them in a mass grave.
You're confusing the man you're the debating
Klepper is this guy's
that's
name. Coney. Klepper, Coney, Coney, Klepper should never be confused. Jordan Coney should never be confused.
No, it's Klepper. It's Klepper. Yeah, Jordan Klepper.
He did atrocities to those young children in Africa.
Yeah.
They don't even sound alike.
We should never speak Klepper's name again.
No, that's Coney. Coney did the atrocities.
All, either way, they need to be hunted down by
removed.
SEAL Team 6 and removed. May I finish my statement, please?
Please.
Okay. Under your theory, using your failed logic, then I should beg my wife to add just a little bit of rat poison to my porridge every morning so that I could build up an immunity to rat poison. Well, Mr. Jordan Coney, I don't think that's a good idea, and I don't think Mrs. Wright Corolla would go for that. Thank you very much.
Wow.
No.
Getting your ass handed to you,
well,
Coney.
It's clever.
Oh,
I couldn't
be clearer.
It's clever. I said clever.
I
Coney is the despot African ruler doing horrible things to those kids.
We'll fix it in post.
And if you guys want to weave that in, that's your business.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Shall we? Thank you, George. It's been a long time since we've done improv. Should we do a little? We'll take a break and we'll do news. I know we got a quick, got a hard out. Mr. Coney's got a hard out. Mr. Koresha. Anyway, it's a hard out. Whatever you want to call him. It's a hard out. So we'll take a quick break. Come back to the news right after this.
Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material.
The reason the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks. We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
May 17th at Cleveland's Agora Theater and May 18th in Detroit at the Royal Oak.
Now I'm out on my own and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning, where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, 17-year-old Michael Brown of Houston, Texas, is getting ready to graduate from high school and attend college, and he's going to have a lot of options where to go because of his achievements in high school, including a GPA of 4.68.
Hold on, I'm angry.
Uh-oh.
This is my problem. You know, my whole time I was growing up, it's like, we got to give 110%. Then it's like, you can't, Jordan, you don't like 110% talk since it doesn't exist. My entire childhood and academic career was like 4.0. He's got a 4.0. He's got a perfect GPA. He's a 4.0. I never got near 4.0, but the smart kids had a 4.0. And then it becomes, you start talking to me like, yeah, I had a 4.7. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. How'd you have higher than 4.0? And then you got to hear about the hog kid not getting into UCLA. He's like, we only had a 4.2. And it's like, can we just cap it?
Yeah,
let's just figure out what it is.
Yeah.
I'll be willing to go to 5, but no mas right. After that. And if you're telling me you took some AP classes or you volunteered at the orphanage, I don't care. We got a number here because it's screwing up. Now I'm hearing about a guy who gets a 4.2 and he's not UCLA material. And I'm like, in my world,
Yes.
So this
guy. He had a 4.68 and he's been accepted to the 20 colleges and universities he applied to, including 4 Ivy League schools, all with a full ride, by the way, more than $260,000 in scholarships. So as it stands right now, his 8 top choices are Harvard, Princeton, Northwestern, Yale, University of Pennsylvania, Stanford, Georgetown, and Vanderbilt. And he's thinking of pursuing degrees in political science and economics.
Does he come from the wrong side of the tracks? Can he afford the tuition?
From Houston. I don't know. Beyond the
good start.
Chris is looking it up.
Is all of Houston on the wrong side of the tracks or just 80% of it? All right. And where are the railroad tracks? Do we know what side
the
girl grew up on in high school?
You're on the wrong side.
Yeah. That's true.
All we have is Ventura Boulevard. Mm. That's our train tracks over here. Yeah.
Well, while Chris is looking that up, we'll move on. Zombie raccoons. They are terrorizing Youngstown, Ohio right now. So local cops have responded to more than a dozen calls of raccoons acting extremely strange, quote unquote. In March, the raccoons began coming out during the days, standing on their back legs, baring their teeth, staggering around like zombies. No one is certain what's causing this weird behavior, but the Ohio Department of Natural Resources says the raccoons may be suffering from a disease called distemper rather than rabies. disease. Distemper is a deadly virus that can actually affect raccoons as well as dogs, skunks, and other animals, but is not contagious to humans.
You know, it hasn't come up on the show in a long time. Things that sound better than they are. Distemper.
Yeah.
It's this deadly disease that turns your animals
It's worse than rabies.
Zombies. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's distemper.
At least it's bad.
People overuse this term zombie. I think like post-Walking Dead era of our world, like zombie is now just a blanket term for like acting different or stumbling.
It's the new on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Zombie raccoons.
I got a couple ideas. Yeah. One is one of the greatest new reality shows ever would be to collect all these zombified raccoons and drop them off at the homeless encampment here in L.A.
That's right.
Like to just film it. We're not going to, no rules.
Just
we'll just see what goes on. Look. Do they become their new leaders? You know what I mean? Do the homeless eat the zombies?
They could be worshipped.
Do the zombies take down the homeless? I don't know, but I'd like to watch this. Number one. Number two, it's funny. It's funny when raccoons get up on their hind legs to like pose a threat. So it's like they went from mid shin to top shin in terms of like if you're standing next to them, like I'm going to go from right about where your socks end to up around your kneecap. And, I pose a threat.
Call me when they start to learn how to use stilts so they have to do this right.
Right. But it's weird. I don't think I've ever called the cops on an animal.
On a
raccoon. Kind of a weird thing.
You'd have to propose a pretty serious threat.
Yeah.
We used to have a raccoon that used to come over to my backyard when I was living with Ralph and Cortland. I like rented house and stuff. And you could just hand it like peanuts and stuff. And it would just like stand there and take
it. Zero.
Yeah. But a raccoon is one of those, I don't want you to freak out animals on you.
Yeah, yes. They're wily.
Yes.
You don't want the razor sharp teeth and the wiliness and then being able to like, a raccoon could use a pistol. I really feel like if it wanted to.
They already have that little bandit mask.
Yeah,
you'll
there.
Be able to tell which one
That's
it
right.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lou Diamond Phillips was sentenced to 2 years of probation on Wednesday after pleading guilty to driving under the influence. His attorney tells the Corpus Christi Caller Times, quote, Mr. Phillips has apologized, has issued his apologies a number of times regarding this incident. And from the beginning, the time of his arrest, he voluntarily took the breathalyzer, submitted to a sobriety test, and expressed his remorse about the fact that this has occurred. Phillips was arrested in Southeast Texas in November after he pulled up to an officer and asked for directions. Now, Lou will have to stay sober for 2 years, enroll in a DUI education program, and be outfitted with a device to monitor his alcohol intake.
Well,
it's Houston, right? Southeast Texas?
Hold on
Southeast
a Texas. Second. What side of the tracks he was on? Is this his first? This can't be. You can't do this for a first
and that's,
DUI.
How drunk do you have to look if you're asking the cop, hey, is Grand Street this way or this way? And then you get yanked out of your car.
Well, I don't know. I feel like it depends. Like there are many drunken strategies. Mm. This could have been like the preemptive strike.
What do you mean?
You know? Well, if you're Lou Diamond and you're super buzzed and you're like going down the highway and you're going to pass a parked car and you know things aren't right in your head, and you know as soon as you pass by the car, the guy might just slide in behind you and light you up, then there's a weird preemptive, I'm going to stop. What kind of drunk guy would stop and instigate a conversation with an officer of the law? Like, I don't know if there was some preemptive something. This is a lot for a guy's first offense. This has to be a multiple whatever. And last time I checked, this was America. Like, they could tell you to stop driving drunk, but they couldn't tell you to stop getting drunk.
Indeed. Well, if you're wearing an anklet. Yeah.
Some kind
but
of
no, something's up.
Right, some sort of previous.
This isn't... He's
Has he had run-ins? Is he a run-in, you know? Is that what he's been doing with his time?
It's his first DUI... But he's had domestic violence charges.
Yeah.
So that could
something is going on with him and alcohol in the past. Because if any of us got our first one, it'd be, here's how much it costs, and you have to attend these classes, and you get that. License suspended for 6 months. But it wouldn't be you can't drink.
Right.
It'd just be you got to go to these classes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lou, it's been staying off the radar then if we don't even know.
I think it was the domestic thing that did it. So I guess you'd have to just eat Quaaludes for 2 years until you can drink again?
Yeah, correct. Edibles, yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Well, Tanya Harding will reportedly take part in the first ever all-athlete season of Dancing with the Stars, according to...
Hold on.
Yes.
Hey, Max Man, see if we can get on eBay and see if we can get me one of those can't-drink ankle bracelets.
All right.
The monitor.
I got it.
Are they constantly monitoring you? Is it able to monitor?
You want to wear it when you get out and approach that cop.
That's right.
That's right.
Come at that
bro,
cop foot
I'm already
first.
Wearing things, you know, hey, good.
Listen, where's me, Main Street? Oh, by the way, why am I wearing flip-flops and a one-legged pant? It's my ankle. It's funny. I must smell like booze from several months ago before I was fitted with this bad boy.
Yes, this is a urine stain, and yes, it's growing, but no, I've not been drinking.
That's right. I couldn't. How could I be drinking with this ankle bracelet on?
Ball and chain.
Yeah.
Keep me sober.
It shocked me.
Because I was thinking about drinking.
I bring up booze, and it'll shock me. Yeah. Does the ankle bracelet not let him drink or monitors or like detects his sweat glands or something?
Did I tell you I was at Anderson's bachelor party a couple years ago? Bachelor party. A girl came over to the room, to the hotel room we're at for entertainment, got naked completely except for
her ankle bracelet.
That's the only thing she still had on.
That's top shelf.
It detects alcohol through transdermal measurements.
Boring.
Just sweat.
I bet I could whip one of those up at the shop with just a little bit of PVC pipe and like some orange spray paint or something.
That's good.
We'll see what one looks like.
You got a Fitbit, doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I'll get that. Did they do a wrist one? Because I like to kind of hang it out the window with the cigarette when I'm talking to the cop.
I'm good.
No, Ossifer, why would you think I was drinking? All right.
So, Tanya Harding joining Dancing with the Stars, the Olympic skater whose rival Nancy Kerrigan, of course, got a pipe to the knee before the 1994 Winter Olympics, has returned to the headlines because of the biopic I, Tanya. Kerrigan competed on Dancing with the Stars last year. So, Us Weekly says Olympic figure skater Adam Rippon and Olympic snowboarder Jamie Anderson will also join the show. The full cast of Dancing with the Stars athletes will be announced on Good Morning America on April 13th.
It's weird. Oh, well, look at that.
It's like an old beeper.
I'll just get one of Drew's pagers and put on some Velcro, put around my ankle.
I'm drawn to those shoes. Those penguins look nice.
Nobody had a court-ordered alcohol monitoring device in their ankles wearing espadrilles or any kind of European loafer. Like let's make it what it is.
Yeah, they're trying to show fashionable these call out of
Aperol spritzes.
And I'm sorry, but is the brand called the Scram?
Yes. Oh. It's probably an acronym for something. But
alcohol monitor, I would imagine, would be the last two letters.
So Scram. Lou Diamond, Lou probably's had some alcohol related dust ups, and thus the booze declaration has come down. All right, let's wrap it up.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Let's talk more about Gina's pussy.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
I'll tell you about True Car, man. I'll give you some tips. Don't drive drunk. How about that, Lou Diamond? And also, put that key fob under your chin. It will increase the range. Here's another tip you might not know. True Car also helps people get used cars with a certified dealer network, nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. So whether you're buying new or whether you're buying used, you got to go with True Car. Find out what other people are paying for the exact same car, apples to apples. Lock in your price. Enjoy a faster car buying experience. Connect with True Car certified dealers who are also jockeying for your business. So they're competing amongst each other to get your business. So the price is going to be as low as it possibly can be. When you're ready to buy new, you're ready to buy used. Check out True Car. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, Us live podcast, Santa Ana Esports Arena. Heather Dubrow is going to be out on stage with us, the housewife. That'll be April 21st. And then Agora Theater, that's in Cleveland, Ohio. That'll be me May 17th, me May 18th, Detroit Royal Oak. Come on out for that. Portland, Seattle, all the shows. First show's sold out in Portland. Second show's added. We're doing filming it for a stand-up special there. So come on out, the cruise and everything else. Jordan Klepper, everybody.
You got it right this time.
You nailed it, yeah.
I always say Klepper.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's almost phonetic.
Yeah.
The Opposition. New episodes begin tonight. 11:30, 10:30 Central on Comedy Central. And also, you can shoot him a tweet at Jordan Klepper. It's everyone's problem. Jordan Klepper. And am I missing anyone, or are we good?
We're good.
We're good. Hey, man. Good. Thanks for coming in, Jordan.
Thanks for having me.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Jordan Klepper, Gina Grad, and Bull Bryan saying mahalo.
I could really use a dick right now.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee. It's a goddamn awesome podcast. You're going to love it at adamcarolla.com. Let's see, May 17th, Cleveland's Agora Theater. You'll find the Ace Man there. Friday, May 18th, outside Detroit at the Royal Oak. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.